الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الميامين. واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. Some of the students have asked for repeating the Al-Huruf Al-Mutawassita. That means the middle ones, when we write down, I'll repeat it very quickly. Ba is written like this, and ta is like this, and sa is written like this in the middle of the word, and dal is written like this in the middle. Your first talk about jim. Jim and ha. In the middle is written like this, and ha in the middle is written like this, and then dal and dal in the middle is like this, and ra is like this, connected with something, and za, and that seen, and sheen, and Saad in the middle, and Waad are written like this, and Tha and Dha in the middle are like this, Ayn and Ghain are like these, and Fa and Qaf in the middle are like these, and then the Kaf is like this. And Lam is like this, or you know, if it is connected, if it's the end of the word, then the Lam will be like this, and the Meem, and Noon, and Waw, and when it is connected, is written like this, and Ha, and Ya. So this is just a quick repetition of the Huruf al-Mutawassita for those of you who asked me to do that. Now we'll move forward to the next step. We already discussed the harakat in the previous lesson. Isn't that right? Harakat, which are actually three. Fatha, which is written on top of the word, we call it fatha. And vamma, which is written on top of the word like this. And then the kasra, which is written beneath the letter. This is called kasra in Arabic. And then we discussed the sukoon. Sukoon, which is the sign written on top of the word like this, a small dal, top of the alphabet. So these are all signs written on top of the alphabet or under the alphabet. Kasra is written under the alphabet. Sukoon is also written on top of the alphabet. Don't confuse the sign of sukoon with this small circle written on top of the alphabet, which is for the silent. It is not read. For example, qalu, qalu. This alif is silent. We do not pronounce the alif. Another example, ulaika. So we do not pronounce the waw. We say ulaika. There is a mad as well, which is mad lazim, which we will learn about mad later on, inshallah. Ulaika. So waw is not pronounced, that's silent. So this is a sign of silent. Don't confuse it with the sukoon. The sukoon letter is pronounced. This one is pronounced. Whereas this one is not pronounced. It is silent. So don't confuse it. Okay, this is where we were in the previous class. Now let's move to today's class. Use some white tissue paper, that would be better, because this one is kind of black. Thank you. Okay, well, today's class is related to the three Huruful Illa. Which are actually the vowels. In Arabic there are three vowels. Al-Illa in Arabic means sickness. We call the vowels in Arabic as the sick letters. Huruf al-illa means the sick letters. They are the sick ones because a person who is sick is vulnerable to changes. He keeps on changing. Likewise, these alphabets, whenever they come in any word, that word is vulnerable to changes. So many changes in Arabic grammar take place in those of the words which have any of the three huruf al-illa. The three huruf al-illa are waw and ya, and that alif which is derived from a waw or a ya. That alif whose background history, if you go back to his history, it was actually waw in the history, or it was ya. That one, that alif we are counting. Not an alif, if an alif is not derived from waw or ya, it is not part of the huruful illa. So actually in the real sense, huruful illa are actually two, and those are waw and ya only. So this is to be remembered about the huruf al-illa, and these are the three huruf al-illa, and then we have the short vowels in Arabic. Short vowels. Are each one of those short vowels are related to the three full vowels. What are the short vowels? The short vowel which is related to waw is vamma, and the short vowel which is related to ya is kasra. Vamma. And kasra, and the short vowel which is related to alif is fatha. So these are the short vowels. Now what we understand with this link between the short and the big and the full vowels is that the voice of vamma is exactly similar to the voice of waw in Arabic, except that it is half in its magnitude. So a vamma, that's how we write it in Arabic, a vamma, and I wrote it in English for those of you who can't read the Arabic right now. So vamma is actually equal to half of the stretch of the voice when we are pronouncing waw, the alphabet waw in Arabic. And likewise, fatha, kasra, let's go to the kasra first, is equal to half of the stretch of the voice when you are pronouncing the alphabet ya in Arabic. And also, fatha is half of the stretch of the voice of the alphabet alif. Or if you want, you can say that alif is equal to, also we can, in addition to this, we can also say it like this, that every alif is equal to half of a fatha. So one fatha, instead of writing this half, alif is equal to one fatha plus another fatha. And waw in Arabic is equal in its stretch of voice, equal to one dhamma plus one dhamma. And ya in Arabic is equal in the stretch of voice, equal to one kasra plus one kasra. So the stretch of voice which you have as you are pronouncing a kasra, the half vowel, you have to double that voice stretch, and that's how the sound of ya will be automatically produced. If you are pronouncing a vamma, you have to double the stretch of the voice equal to vam vamma and another vamma, and that's how automatically the voice of wow will be produced. And I will give you, by giving examples, I'll explain it to you. And likewise, fatha, if you say, and you combine it with another fatha, that means one fatha plus fatha, the voice of alif will be automatically generated. So this is the relation between the short vowels and the big vowels in Arabic. Now, the voice of fatha is, of course, a half of alif. We already wrote it here. Fatha is equal to half of the stretch of voice. Half of alif means half of the stretch of the voice, the amount of voice you have to stretch. So if you are saying, for example, ba, so this is an alphabet ba with a fatha on it, we say ba. But if you stretch it equal to two fathas, one fatha plus another fatha, automatically an alif will be generated. So if you add another fatha into it, that means it will be, you say ba, ba, so you are adding another fatha. But actually, so one fatha plus another fatha is an alif, the voice of alif is automatically generated. So if you add one dhamma into another dhamma, the voice of waw will be generated. For example, lam, and you put a dhamma on it, lu. Now if you want to stretch it, make two dhammas, the voice of waw will be generated, lu, lu. So the voice of waw will be generated because you are stretching one dhamma equal to two dhammas, and that's what equals to waw. And likewise, ya. So if you are saying ya, let me use another alphabet, Mim, for example, and there's a kasra under it. Okay, now if I stretch it, it will automatically be like ni. The voice of a ya will be generated. So one kasra plus another kasra. So that's how the voice. Now, ya equals to two kasras, and waw equals to two vammas, and alif equals to two fatha in the stretch of the voice. And also, it is important to remember that the pronunciation of these alphabets, vowels alif and waw and ya, is also exactly the same pronunciation of a fatha or a dhamma or a kasra. The same pronunciation. So the voice of a fatha is in sync with the voice of an alif. The voice of a dhamma is in sync with voice of waw, and the voice of kasra is in sync with the voice of ya. So the voice of alif, we all know that ah, isn't it right? Ah. So the voice of fatha is also ah. Half of the stretch of the voice. The voice is the same. The type of sound is the same. The stretch of the voice is half. This is ah, and this one is ah. This one is oo. So this one will be oo. 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 So, and this one is e. So this one is e. 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 Stretch of the voice is half. Now another point to make it clear, let me give you some examples. Like for example, the example for alif, like common example, Mahdi. So this is, here we have a fatha. And I'm giving you the example of a fatha and alif. So fatha has the same sound of alif. The stretch of voice is half. So the voice of alif is ah. Make it half. Ah. So that's how you will pronounce here. Mah. Mahdi. Instead of saying it mehdi, which is not the right way of saying it, not the appropriate way. I'm not saying it's, if you say it like this, your prayers is not batil. If you say it Mahdi, if it has to be said in the prayers, if, then your prayers will not be batil. But the actual appropriate pronunciation of Arabic is how I'm explaining. So if somebody doesn't abide by this specific point, his prayers is not batil, but that's, this is the actual pronunciation of Arabic. So we say it Mahdi. Instead of saying it Mahdi, we say it Mahdi. Because fatha is half the sound of, it's the same sound but half the stretch. Likewise, the example for waw is an example for waw. Okay, an example for waw, iyyaka na'budu. So instead of saying it na'budu, we have to say na'budu, because lamma, the sound is similar to waw, and the sound of waw is oo, not o. The sound is oo. So make it half, so this will be na'budu. Instead of saying na'budu, you have to say na'budu. 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 That's the appropriate pronunciation. Although, like I already said, if somebody says it's na'abodo, it's not batil according to the fatawa of the marajib, but that's the appropriate original Arabic pronunciation is na'abudu. Because the sound is the same as waw, and the sound of waw is oo, it's not o. So you don't say na'abodo, you say na'abudu, na'abudu. Is it clear? Likewise, the ya is... for example, Imam. This is, here is the kasra, so we said Imam. Instead of saying A, we don't make the sound of A, because the voice of Ya is E, not A. It's E, and the Kasra is exactly the half, so it's A. E, E. E and E. So the voice will be imam, imam. And this is just an example to make you understand that that's how we will pronounce it. Another example is Zahra. Zahra. Instead of saying it Zahra, you would say it Zahra. So these are the short vowels and the full vowels in Arabic. We call them Huruful Illa. And this is very important to remember, and very basic stuff, because you're going to find this pronunciation every now and then. In all the words, we will be using the same Vamma and Kasra and Fatha. So you have to be very clear about this, and you have to know the relation between Vamma and Waw, and the Kasra and Ya, and the Fatha and Alif. Now, let's go to the next step. The next discussion is about Hamza. Hamza, which is written in Arabic like this. This is the sign of Hamza. If it comes on top of an alif, then it is written. It's not an alif, of course. We say alif in order to make you understand and become familiar, but actually this is not an alif. Because in Arabic, the word alphabet alif can never have a fatha on it, can never have a dhamma on it, and can never have a kasra under it. And alif can never have any of these three, what do you call it? Harakat. Harakat. We also call it i'rab. And alif doesn't have that i'rab, because any of these fatha and dhamma and kasra, an alif is always sakin. It has a sukoon. So the alphabet which has sukoon is called sakin. Sakin is that alphabet which carries a sukoon on top of it. And the sukoon sign I already explained is like this. So alif always has this, but it's not written on top of the alif, because it's an understood thing, because alif in Arabic is always sakin. So nobody writes the sign of sakin on an alif, because it is always sakin. There is no other way, nothing else can come on the alif, so it's understood. So alif is always sakin. So hamza, when it is written on top of this straight line which is similar to alif, don't call it alif, because it is not alif. In alif, alif is always sakin. Whereas this is not alif, this is hamza. And that's why, in order to distinguish it from alif, we always put the sign of hamza on top of it, or in some cases under it. In some cases, hamza's sign is written on top of a waw, and in some cases written on top of a ya, or written without a waw or a ya. There are different grammatical reasons why we are writing the sign of Hamza on these alphabets under it or on it. Why are we writing? There are different grammatical reasons, but that's beyond our discussion of Ilm al-Tajweed. We are not here to learn the Arabic grammar. So, but in order for you to recognize the alphabet Hamza, you must remember that Hamza can either be found separately or on top or under one of these letters. So, and there's a well-defined grammatical reasons why we write the Hamza like this. But Hamza always has the sign. And whenever you write Hamza in Arabic, remember to put this sign on top of it. This sign, use the sign always to make sure it is Hamza, and nobody should confuse it with the regular Alif, which never has this sign and is always Sakin. It has a sign of Sukoon. It is Sakin in Arabic. It doesn't have any harakat, any three types of harakat. Now the word which has a Sukoon on it is called Sakin, and the word which has any of these three harakat, Fatha or Dhamma or Kasra, some alphabet that has any of these three harakat, so see, the each one of this is called haraka. Haraka. And the plural is called harakat. So each one is called haraka. Harakatul fath, harakatul fatha, harakatul dhamma, and harakatul kasra. These, each one is haraka, and these are harakat, which is the plural. So the alphabet which has a sukoon is called sakin, and the alphabet which has any of these harakat is called mutaharrik. Mutaharrik letter, okay? We call it a mutaharrik letter. Like, for example, you have Qalu, Qalu. I intentionally wrote the sign of Sakin here, although it's not written, because it's understood. Like I already explained, Alif always is Sakin. Now, Qaf, is it a Sakin or a Mutaharrik letter? It is Mutaharrik because it has a Harakat of Fatha on it. Okay, Alif, is it Sakin or Mutaharrik letter? It is Sakin because, you know, it is always Sakin, even though you don't find this sign, but it is understood. So that's why it's not written. So it's always Sakin. And Lam, is it a Mutaharrik alphabet or it's a Sakin alphabet? In this word, is it Mutaharrik? And Wow, is it Sakin or Mutaharrik? It is Sakin. Alif, is it Sakin or Mutaharrik? It is silent. This Alif is, remember, we discussed the sign of silent, small circle, this is silent. Okay, so now going back to Hamza, this is the sign of Hamza, always write this sign. Hamza in Arabic is divided into two types. Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qat'a. Wasl in Arabic means connection. Qat means cutting. Hamzatul Wasl is called Hamzatul Wasl because let's suppose here is the Hamza, it allows you to connect whatever is before it with whatever is after it. You are allowed to connect. Because this Hamza allows you to connect, we call this Hamza as Hamzatul Wasl, Hamza of connection. There's another type of Hamza which does not allow you to connect whatever is before it with what is after it. This connection is not allowed by the Hamza. So when you connect this, of course you will be ignoring the Hamza. Hamza will not be pronounced, it will be ignored. Isn't it right? Because you're connecting whatever alphabet is before it with whatever alphabet after it. You're connecting those two alphabets together, so you are ignoring the Hamza. Whereas this Hamza does not allow you to connect, that means it is trying to say, you can't ignore me. You have to read me, and then you can move forward. Examples. Examples is Billahi, for example. So actually the word was Allah. Isn't that right? And then we added the word Ba in the beginning. So it became Billahi. So now we are not pronouncing this Hamza. Isn't that right? This Hamza is not pronounced. So that's because it is Hamzatul Wasl, Hamza of connection. It allows us to connect what is before the Hamza with what is the first letter it is recited after it is the Lam. So what is after the Hamza, first letter which can be recited is Lam. So it allows you to connect what is before it, what is after it that needs to be recited. The first letter that needs to be recited is Lam. This one is not recited. So here we connect this Ba with the Lam. So this Hamza allows you to skip it. Hamza allows you to ignore it. So that's why this we put the sign of Wasl on top of the Hamza. So you find the sign of Wasl. Wasl, the same Wasl. Word Wasl means connection. You find the sign of connection. This is the sign of connection, which is written on top of the Hamza. The sign of connection. So in some of the books you will find this sign. In some of the books you may not find the sign, but that requires expertise of Arabic grammar to understand where it is Hamzatul Wasl and where is Hamzatul Qat. But in the Qur'ans, if you find the regular Qur'an of Uthman Taha, you will find the sign of Hamzatul Wasl. Usually you will find the sign written on top of the Hamza of Wasl, which allows you to connect. So Hamzatul Qat does not allow you to connect. You cannot ignore it. So when you cannot ignore it, that means you can't connect what is before it with what is after it. Now you have to read this Hamza and then move forward. So it doesn't allow you to connect. It cuts you off unless you read it first. Example. Maliki Yawmiddin. In Surah Al-Fatiha we read Maliki Yawmiddin. Then we say, Iyaka na'budu. Isn't that right? So now, Malik Yawmiddin. So here, we find that this Hamza is Hamzatul Qat. Hamzatul Qat, it cuts you off because it doesn't allow you to ignore it. You have to read the Hamza and then move forward. You cannot ignore this Hamza. So because it is not allowing us to connect this first in the letter before it with the letter after it, it doesn't allow us to connect. We can't connect it. We can't say Malik Yawmiddiniyaka. No, we can't say that. Malik Yawmiddiniyaka. We can't say that. It doesn't allow us to connect the noon with the ya. What is before Hamza with what is after the Hamza. We can't do that. So we have to read the Hamza and then move forward. So that's why we say, Maliki Yawmiddini, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. So this is Hamzatul Qat. So this is the difference between Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qat. Hamzatul Wasl allows you to connect with whatever alphabet is before it with whatever alphabet is after it. So you can ignore the Hamza. And that's why we put the sign of Wasl like this on top of Hamzatul Wasl, Hamza of connection. Whereas Hamzatul Qat cuts you off, does not allow you to connect what is before with what is after it. So we can't ignore it and we have to read the Hamza before we can move forward. This is the difference between Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qat. Now, inshallah, in the next class, we will learn about inshallah about the Tanween and Shadda laws, which are convene and shut the laws, and we will inshallah discuss some of those things which are related to the haq and mustahaq of the huruf. If you remember, we discussed the definition of ilm al-tajweed, you know, the definition of ilm al-tajweed, as we were talking about, it means that reciting the Arabic language with the medium pace of recitation. Medium pace of recitation, which we call tadweer, if you remember. We discussed the three types of qira'at in the beginning of the, our series of lectures. Tadweer, tadweer, qira'at of tadweer, which is the medium pace of recitation. Qira'at of tahqeeq is very slow, and qira'at of tahdeer is very fast. But tadweer was in the medium pace of recitation. So ilm al-tajweed means you read the Quran, read the Arabic and the Quran in a medium pace of recitation, with the which is called qira'at al-tadweer, while taking care of the haq and the mustahaq of the kalima, of the word. So if we take care of the haq of the word and the mustahaq of the word, and that's what we will going to discuss inshallah in the next class. The haq of the word means that those are the things which are related to the word when it is used alone, not in a sentence. Those are the rulings which apply to the word when the word is used alone, without being used in a sentence. And mustahaq of a word means those of the rulings which are related to a word when the word is used inside a sentence. So if you are reading the Arabic or the Quran with the medium pace of recitation, which is called qira'at al-tadweer, plus you are taking care of the haq of the word, all the rules which are related to the word when it is used alone, and the mustahaq of the word, all the rules which are related to the word when it is used inside the sentence, then it is called that you are practicing the tajweed. You are doing, taking care of the rulings of tajweed properly. So inshallah, we shall discuss that in the next class.